Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome everybody to worship on this, the second weekend in the season of Lent. For our friends worshiping online, just a reminder, as we usually remind everybody, you can go to our website, chapelofthecross.org, and there you will find this bulletin under the Resources tab, and you can follow along that way with the service. Also, if you would like, you can find you can give an offering to the Lord through the Give tab there. Or you can just send your offering into the church office. A few things for you to know before we begin worshiping today. A reminder that on Sunday, the 7th of March, next weekend at 12 noon, we will be holding a voters' assembly regarding the calling of specific ministry pastor candidate Ellery Glenn. Ellery is about 2 years into his seminary program, and it's at this point where he receives a call from chapel. All confirmed members are invited and encouraged to come to that voters meeting on the 7th of March at 12 noon. If you will be attending, we ask you if you could sign up at the sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, or if you forget to do that tonight, just call the office and we'll put you on the list. More information about that is in your chapel weekly. A reminder as well about the brief information gathering survey from the Board of Elders regarding the safety measures put into place here at chapel during the COVID virus problem. If you filled that all out already, we thank you for doing that. You don't have to fill out another one. You ask you just to fill one out. If you have not yet filled that survey out, there are copies on the card table in the commons area there, and then you can place your completed survey in that box labeled survey on the table. And there's plenty of pens sitting there too. So thank you very much for doing that. And then one final reminder, please come and worship with us on Wednesdays during the season of Lent. Service is at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Those are identical services, and we will be worshiping on Wednesdays through to this the week of Holy Week. Now, a few new things. First, the Women's Bible Study is restarting starting March 2nd. That study meets on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 10 a.m. That study will walk through the book called Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose by Pastor Jeff Leiniger. If you would like to receive a copy of that book, you'll get that at the first meeting on that Tuesday. And there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center for that class. Secondly, we will be soon taking family pictures for our new pictorial directory here at Chapel. Remember, we were planning on doing this last year, tried a couple different times, and then, of course, COVID happened and messed our plans up there. So we're trying again. Soon we'll be asking you to sign up for times to take a picture. In the meantime, you can mark your calendars. The photos will be taken the week of April 13th through 17th. So it's a little more than a month from now we'll be taking those pictures. So just mark your calendars. Lastly, the March Devotion Project devotional materials are available, and they're ready at the Welcome Center. There's a purple cover on that, so you can't miss it. Go ahead and pick up a copy to take home with you today. God's blessings as we worship this day. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. For those using their hymnal at home, that's hymn number 783 in Lutheran Service Book.
Take my life and let it be consecrated.
We stand. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who sent your Son into the flesh so that he might pay for our sins and open eternal life to us, grant us strong faith so that we may purposefully take up our crosses and follow where he has led the way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this day is from Genesis, the 17th chapter. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistles from Romans chapter 5. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew, and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Were you to sinful ways, how could I come before your throne? Yet full forgiveness meets my gaze. I stand redeemed by grace alone. Steadfast love has made a way, and God himself has paid the price. But all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice. That all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 8 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Life can change in an instant. We see that in the gospel reading, don't we? The disciple Peter, he gives this beautiful confession of faith in Jesus. He says, "You are the Christ, Jesus. You are the Savior, my Savior, and I believe in you." But things can change in an instant. The very next verses in that passage, Jesus says, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die." Mark says he spoke plainly about this. Actually, here in this first passion prediction, Jesus says, "I must suffer, I must be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, and I must be killed." And Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. "Never, Lord, that'll never happen to you." Oh, Peter, you shouldn't have said that. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Oh, life can change in an instant. Just ask Peter. Or just ask Abraham. Life can change in an instant. One day, Abraham is an idolater living in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. The next instant, he has faith in the Almighty God, and he's moving to the Promised Land in Canaan. One moment, his name is Abram. The next moment, God changes his name to Abraham. One moment, he's just this 99-year-old man with an old barren wife. The next moment, his wife is pregnant, and he's about to become the father of many nations. One moment, Abram is just this average guy. The next moment, he is the chosen and the blessed instrument of God. Oh, life can change in an instant. Abraham could tell you all about it. And yet, none of those changes were his doing. That was all the work. It was all the gift of God. Abram was just this average old guy living an average old life in an average old place. But God chose him. And God blessed him. And God moved him. And God filled him. And God used him. So much so that this average old former idol worshiper became the example of God's righteousness being given to people through faith. And he became the instrument through which God's grace would come to all the people of the world through the birth of one of his future descendants, who happened to be Jesus Christ. That Old Testament reading for tonight is a beautiful example of God working in and God working through this man, and how his life and how our lives too are changed by God in an instant. Listen one more time to that passage from Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Now, we normally refer to this guy as Abraham, but long before he was Abraham, he was Abram. And his wife, long before she was Sarah, was Sarai. If you remember, we talked a little bit about Abraham last week, about his faith, about his obedience, about his God-pleasing character. But you got to remember, Abraham was a sinful human being, just like you and me. He didn't always do what he was supposed to do. He didn't always do what he was commanded to do. He didn't always follow God's plan. And in fact, he had at times taken matters into his own hands. That was the case when he was 86, and God had not yet given him a child as he had promised to do. Abram took matters into his own hands. And he shouldn't have done that. And that's always a dangerous thing to do with God. And that usually creates quite a mess. And this is no exception. He fathered a child through Sarai's servant Hagar, and Ishmael was born. A rambunctious child, the Bible says, that even God said would be a wild donkey of a man. For 13 years, there was no peace in that house. Can you imagine that? 13 years of bitterness and anger and contempt and jealousy and envy and rebellion. 13 years of living with the consequences of taking matters into your own hands. And for 13 years, God was silent. But then God breaks into their lives in a new way and with a new name. Did you hear what God called himself? Listen again. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God." With this name, God was saying to Abram, "You have been learning for 13 years the total inadequacy of your own efforts, the total failure of doing things your own way. Now I want you to learn a new thing. I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Now you will learn how powerful I am and how I act and how I work. I will give you a son, Abram. I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you to be fruitful. I will bless you. And I will establish an everlasting covenant with you, Abram. I will do it, Abram." What a beautiful picture. You know, God doesn't ask Abraham to climb a mountain somewhere to go find him. God comes down to Abraham, this 99-year-old man, and he establishes the relationship with him. And he says, this is what I am going to do for you. You know, that's the way God works. It's not what we do. It's what he does. And God doesn't ask me or you to climb a mountain or do this or do that before he'll come to me or you. That's not how our God works. Our God, El Shaddai, he comes to me, he comes to you as old or as run down or as weak or as sinful as we may be. God establishes the relationship with us. He uses his power to come to see us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of his word, through the fellowship of the body of believers, through the wine and the bread, the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, through the powerful word and the water of holy baptism. God comes to you and God comes to me and he establishes a relationship with us. And when El Shaddai, God Almighty, comes to us and when he establishes a relationship with us, that always creates a change. Always does. You cannot encounter God Almighty, El Shaddai, and remain unchanged. It's not possible. He changes us. That change happened in Abram and Sarai. And that change was reflected in the new names that God gave to them. Abram was a name that meant exalted father. But just think of how embarrassing that name was for Abram. Exalted father? For a man who for many, many years didn't have any kids? Kind of embarrassing. But God Almighty, El Shaddai, he's about to make a change in them. In his powerful way, he works and he makes Abram that exalted father. He makes him Abraham, which means father of many. And he works and he makes Sarai, Sarah, which means princess. Both new names were evidence of what God was doing in their lives. God said, Abram, you've tried to take matters into your own hands and make yourself an exalted father, and it didn't work, did it? Now I'm going to do my work in you, and you will not only be a father, but you're going to be a father of many. And Sarai, in your own strength, all you've gotten is bitterness and strife. But I will change your heart to exalt you from that contentious life to royalty because you are my princess. You know, and I guess when I see God changing Abraham's and Sarah's lives and then their names, I see him changing ours. God Almighty, El Shaddai, he comes to us through his Son, Jesus. Jesus, by the way, that name means Savior. Jesus, the Savior, comes to you and to me, and he says, I'm going to change you. In his might, in his power, he comes to us, and he changes us. That's the way our God works. It's not what we do. It's what he does. Our God, El Shaddai, comes to us, and he establishes a relationship with us. In such a simple but powerful way, he works through the water and the word of baptism. He says, you are mine now, and I'm going to change you, and I'm going to change your name. You know, before Christ, we had a lot of names, none of them good. Despised, failure, shameful, sinner. It's what we are. It's who we are without Christ. But God Almighty comes, and he establishes a relationship with us, and he changes us, and he changes our name. Once we were despised, now we are loved. Once we were called failure, now we are called precious. Once we were called shameful, now we are called holy. Once we were called sinner, now we are called forgiven. Most importantly, we were lost and condemned. We were enemies of God. But now he calls us son. He calls us daughter, children of the Heavenly Father. We are part of his family. God has given you his name. You have all the privileges of a child of God. The Lord Almighty, El Shaddai, he has given you his greatest gifts, his great inheritance, eternal life, peace, mercy, joy, love. Oh, life can change in an instant. Our God, El Shaddai, has come to us. And in an instant, with that water of holy baptism, with the power of his word, with the gift of saving faith, we are changed. Our name is changed. Our lives are changed. Our future is changed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We pray for the church. Heavenly Father, strengthen your church with your presence in the gospel as it is proclaimed and in the sacraments as they are shared. Work in us that we may trust and proclaim Christ and him crucified. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation. Lord God, we pray for President Joe Biden and the Congress of the United States and for all in the authority of government. Grant justice, peace, and harmony in our land, that the peace of Christ may be proclaimed and embraced by all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our English district and our synod. Heavenly Father, empower your people to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless our district and our synod and its ministries, as well as the endeavor to establish new congregations that share that gospel with those who do not yet know the Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who bear the burden of sickness, injury, or suffering of any kind. Especially today, we remember Harold Webster, Steve Jones, Melvina Hager, as she has surgery this week, and Sherry Mansfield, as she has surgery this week. For all the ill, hospitalized, suffering, and hurting, may the cross of Christ bring them peace and comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who celebrate God's special gifts of grace. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you along with Steve and Marcia Geis as they celebrate 40 years of marriage, and Ellery and Kathy Glenn as they celebrate 46 years of marriage. We also give thanks with Eric and Jackie Peterson upon the birth of a son, Sterling Charles, born this past Monday. We praise you, Lord, for your wonderful gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who mourn and grieve. Merciful Lord, we give you thanks for the saints who have departed this life in faith and now rest from their labors. We also pray for those who mourn. Today we especially remember Kathy Glenn and her family upon the death of her sister, Debbie Schoolcraft, this past week. The family and loved ones of Marilyn Crowder, who died in the Lord this past Tuesday, and Ryan and Lisa Koch and their family upon the death of their baby, Lillian Grace, who was born prematurely and died shortly after birth. May your comfort, your peace, and your promises give them strength to meet the days ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn together, Lift Every Voice, and sing page 9 and 10 in your bulletin.